Praise the Lord. Let's open our Bible to the book of John, chapter 9. We continue to speak about the evangelism from this book, from this chapter. We have read the story before. And we're going to read the Bible so we can learn new things from it and to understand what God is leading us to. There is a situation, I just try to see what is going on in the spirit, and we need to grasp the task that God has called us to do, and it is not by force. Have you got the point here? And God does not also, you know, rely on numbers. He can use only a few people, one person, and whoever is willing, God is willing to work with that person, not according to his ability, but according to his availability and according to his willingness to go with the things of God. Amen. Let's read verse 17 and 18 from chapter 9. He say, the word of God, they say unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him that he has opened thine eyes? He said, he is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. That's the prayer. God, thank you for your word to us. Continue to speak to us, direct us, to convince us, to convict us with your ways, in the name of Jesus. We trust you, God, that you have a greater plan for each and every one of us, and even for your church, to reach the lost, to do the things as you have done it with your apostles, when you came, and you had preached your own people who had left you. Oh God, I pray for workers to be raised up, for fruit, for harvest, for people to be saved, people coming back in repentance to you in full, in the name of Jesus. Lead us where you want us to move, O God. Lead us with your word. Inspire us with the scriptures and revelations so that we'll be guided well. I pray for visions and dreams. I pray for miracles. I pray that you do things to confirm to us your will. I pray for faithful people to raise up and say, this is all we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. They ask the man, you know, what's your opinion about the one who hears you? They want to know what is inside him, what is in his heart. You know, he may say that he's a good doctor. If he would say he's a good doctor, no, they would not say to him anything. They would say, okay, that's correct. Because that will not contradict their, you know, their ways. But when you say he's a prophet, that it means something else for them. And you know, once they hear that he say he's a prophet, you know what they say? They did not believe he was blind. And they want to call his parents in order to notify the miracle. And also they call the parents because they will use the parents to change his testimony so that they will be able to control him. Now let's go back to verse 17 and let us understand from the scriptures these things and how God wants us to use the word of God to understand what is going on and how God wants us to use the word of God to evangelize to people who have left Christ and left God. Come back to them. In the In this book we learn that the first impression of that man about the Christ, that is the prophet. And that was from the first instance when he put the mud on his eyes and he asked him to go and wash, and when he washed and then he wanted to be able to see. His first impression about Christ is he is the prophet. But later on, the Christ made this man again. And as we read in verse 35 to verse 38, you see, this is here that they had cast him out. And when he had spawned him, he said unto him, "Dost thou believe on the Son of God?" He answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him?" And he said unto him, "Thou hast both seen him, and is he that talk of thee?" And he said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshipped him. So here in the second meeting, Christ revealed himself to that man as the Son of God, as the Messiah. So there is progressing in faith and belief. Now, I asked in the morning, and I want to ask you also, how many days you can spend the distance between the first meeting and the second meeting of Christ with this man? Maybe days? Which time Christ met him again? When they cast him out from there, they tell him, they communicate with him, and I believe they have done it quickly. Have you get the point? So the second meeting of Christ with this man is a short, maybe days, maximum week, okay, 1 month. How many Bible studies this man has received to stamp them? How many Bible studies that he received that he can bear it, you know, he can bear it that he will be excommunicated? How many times you receive Bible study and you have not changed? Are we are deceiving ourselves? If we still go back to sin, then salvation is in peril. Why that man was able to bend the wind, the typhoons, against him? Why you cannot stand when you are challenged with the truth? Why he has no fear, this man? When they come and call the parents, you know why Christ is far away? Because you are not willing to stand. That man, when he stood the test, Christ was just there to make him. I want to say also, there must be progression in faith. First, he believes he is a prophet. After a while, he comes to know that he is the Son of God. And so there's progress from step to step. When there's stagnation, interesting, there is something holding back our life, and we are not willing to give it up, or we are not willing to go through that price that we need to pay, as that man was able to pay. Did he pay the price, this man? He paid the price? Yes, he paid the price because he was willing to be cast out. That's a progression that we can see in the story. You know, that's what the Christ says, you know them by their fruit. I mean, there are people, you keep giving Bible study and keep teaching, but there's no willingness to come from certain things that they are not going to follow. But that man, from the first instance. In John chapter 4, the same has happened when Christ had freed up that woman from Samaria. And in verse 19, you know, after Christ, now that woman was able, she has perfect body, her eyes 6 on 6. She can walk, she can carry water. In verse 19 we can read that woman, what she said to him. She told him, the woman said unto him, "Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet." So the first instant this woman, when we come to know Christ, the first to recognize him as a prophet. How she come to know that he is a prophet? How she perceive, how she come to say that he is a prophet? What did Christ told her? Christ told her about her sin. He told her, "Where is your? Where is your husband?" He called her with the sin that she was doing. She comes to know that this man, he can declare to me what is hidden and what is going on in my life that I am hiding off. And you know, there was a prophet for them. Old Testament, it means somebody will declare to you what is, will come in the future, or somebody will tell you what is the will of God, or somebody will tell you what is you are hiding in your love. So she comes to know that, and for them when they say prophet, the woman is prophet is somebody is walking with God. Somebody walking with God, God would tell him and he would tell us. That's the meaning of prophet. But as we go forward in John 4, we can see that this woman later on she confessed him as Christ. Verse 20, downward to verse 25, our father worshipped in this mountain. And you see that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus says unto her, "Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye what not what. We know what ye worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth." The woman said unto him, "I know that Messiah is coming, which is called the Christ. When he is come, he will tell us things. He will tell us all things." Verse 26, Jesus said unto her, "I can speak unto thee, I am he." Now the woman, she comes to conclude from that discussion that when the Messiah will come, and he's coming, he will tell them all these things. Now this is a Samaritan woman and she knows about God. Let me get the point here. How much those in Jerusalem? Those in the Sanhedrin who know the scripture by heart. Now she know about it, and Christ revealed himself to us. So here, there is a gradual revelation within a short period of time. And we know that her life was completely changed. Now, can you explain to me why there are millions of churches, but people's life is the same? You know why? Because the message was not appreciated. And if you ask me, when I hear evangelism now, before 10 years ago, I would go to the street. But I think this time I need to go to church. Let's go to the scriptures. Because the Christ, when he came, I was really wondering why Christ did not go at once to the Gentiles. But how he can raise them where the Jewish church, that was the church that belonged to God, was far from there. Now there are a list of sins that the church accepts. The church accepted drinking wine. The church accepts boyfriend and girlfriend. It is not condemned. Accept fornication. Have you ever heard somebody speaking about virginity? from the scriptures. This offense, it is a blood, not condemned, in many churches. Divorce and remarriage, not condemned. Lack of saving, bad stewardship, all the worldly celebrations, it is acceptable within the church. Now, what kind of, when the people join such atmosphere, there should be no changes in their life, because what is going inside the body of Christ, of sin, more than I believe what is going in the world. Let's go to John chapter 4 and verse 19 and verse 17. When he told them, I believe he's a prophet, when they asked him, what you think about this man who did all this to you, he told him he's a prophet. And you know that in the Gospel of John, and in the other Gospels, Christ was recognized as a prophet. In John 4 verse 19, the woman, she told him that he's a prophet. You know, it has a meaning. Let's go. He's a son of God. But for the Jewish, there's something else God is telling him from the scriptures. And these scriptures was used in the Old Testament and the prophets. They use it and written in the New Testament when they preach to them. In John chapter 6 and verse 14, when he multiplied the bread and the fish and the people eat well. In verse 14, then those men, when they had seen the miracles that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth that the prophet that should come into the world. They did not see the prophet. When they saw the miracle, they said, that is the prophet, how they say it? That is of a truth, that the prophet that should come of the world. So there is some a prophet they had been waiting for, that he should come into the world. No, because as we described that, the prophet is the one who hears from God and speak to them. And you know, there are long list of prophets, but there is somebody else, that's a particular prophet, that we are promised that he will come, and we believe that this is, I think that's the person. The same in John 7:14. John chapter 7, when he was in the Feast of Tabernacles, and he was speaking to them, and he did not do miracles at that time. When they hear his sayings, he says that in verse 40, many of the people, therefore, when they hear this saying, say, of a truth, this is the prophet, not a prophet. This is the prophet. So there is a particular prophet, they were waiting for him to arrive to come. So when that blind man was brought to the Pharisees, and he said that he's a prophet, they were shocked. Prophet, listen to me. Prophet, and he opened the eyes of a blind man who was born blind. You know what that means? A prophet, plus he opened the eyes of a blind man born as a blind. What does that mean? Equal to what? Like 1 plus 2, how much? Equal to what? 1 plus 2, how much? 3, right? Okay, prophet plus, he opened the eyes of a man born blind from there. You know what is, according to the scriptures, equal to what? Equal to Christ. And that's what is in the book of Isaiah. He will open the blind of the eyes. the eyes of the blind. In Deuteronomy chapter 18. Book of Deuteronomy chapter 18. Why we need to use the word of God in evangelism? And we, you know, quickly we make a quick surveillance on two scriptures, John 9 and John 4. John 9, somebody blind, he received Christ and he progressed smoothly. He was able to stand as a minister. And John 4, a prostitute, she repented at once. Quick. That's what Jesus said, you know, my dear fruit. In Book of Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 15 to verse 19, what the Jews were promised. See here, the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, and to him you shall hearken. God saying through Moses that he was saying to the people, God will raise up a prophet like me. You must listen, prophet from among us, from among our people. You must hearken to him, you must listen to him. Verse 16, according to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb, in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire anymore, that I die not. With them God say, I will give you a prophet like Moses. With them he say that. In the day when God asked Moses to gather the people around Mount Horeb, and he told him, I will come down and they will hear my voice, so that I will give you honor, and they will start to fear me, and they will start to fear you. So he gathered the people and they were around the mountain, and when God started descending and the voice was so great, the people were so afraid and they were trembled. God even warned that no, if anyone will reach the foot of the mountain, will be shooted by our whether man or beast. When the people hear the voice of God, understand that, and God starts to speak his word, they say to Moses, please, yourself, you go and hear, and whatever he tell you, you come and tell us, but we cannot hear this voice any more. God hear it. God said to Moses, okay, I will raise up a prophet. They don't hear my voice clearly. They don't want to hear it because they are afraid. It's fine with me. Instead of that, I will raise up a prophet like this time you continue. Later on, I will raise up a prophet that whatever I want to tell to the people, I will tell to the prophet, you go and tell them. They say to Moses, we agree about it. We agree about that. So when the Israelites, they hear the word of prophet, it means that God is speaking to them. And they need, what they need to do? They need to hearken. You know, hearken is not only about that you are going in the wrong direction, and the word of God says, hey, come back. You have to give up everything and then and come back to this Lord. Verse 17, and the Lord said unto me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. God agreed about their, that is their request. That is their request. God said, I have agreed, well spoken. Verse 18, I will raise up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and will put my word in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I have commanded him. Have you got the point here? That the prophet is going to speak to them what God has commanded him. In verse 19, and it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. He said the Lord also, if that prophet will go and speak my word to that person, and that person will not obey or change his life or hearken to what I speak, I will be the one to require of him what the prophet had told him. This same scripture, you know, was caught by whom? Caught by Apostle. Was caught by Apostle Peter. Have you got the point here? You see here how the apostles used the Old Testament scriptures to deal with the sin of the people, including the sins of the readers. In Acts chapter 3, Acts chapter 3 and verse 22 to 23, when the day that Apostle Peter and John entered the temple and they found somebody crippled and they healed him, the people rallied to them and explained to them that it is not us but that is Jesus. And he mentioned to them the following about what was taking place and who did it. And he linked it to the scripture. Verse 22, for Moses truly said unto the fathers. Acts chapter 3 verse 22. Now Peter was speaking to the crowd here. The crowd there in the temple, they were worshipping. And they were amazed of the message that had happened. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me, him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And verse 23, and shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear the right prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. That's what Peter told him. Peter called what is written in Deuteronomy chapter 18 verse 15 to verse 19. He called it to them here. But let me ask you, which is heavier? What Moses said to the people or what Peter spoke to the people? In the Old Testament, what Moses said to the people, that if the prophet will not hearken to the, or will not listen, or will not obey to the word of that prophet, God will require it of him. You know what Peter said? He did not say God will require it of him. God will destroy him. Wow, so the message of the New Testament is more heavy on the people. And you know, sometimes we are intimidated because people get upset. We should not be intimidated, we should not be afraid, we should not change the tone. You know why? Because they will go to hell. People say, he will be destroyed from among them. People, he did not say that God will require that intimidation. He said, you will be destroyed. Now let's go to the arrangement. Now we know our Savior is Lord Jesus Christ. Where is he now? After he died, after he rose from the dead, after he ascended to heaven, where is he now? He is at the right hand of God the Father. And we know that on day 50, he sent, day 50 after his resurrection, he sent the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is produced from the Father to us, he filled the church, and we are filled with the Holy Spirit, and now who is managing the church is Christ, being the head of the church, at the right hand of God the Father, But what is on earth is the Holy Spirit. Now the Holy Spirit, when we evangelize, the Holy Spirit will give us their message. And the message we need to declare to the people. We hear the message and we must open our Bible also. Have you get the point? We must, what we hear from the Holy Ghost, the Rhema word, we must find it where in the scriptures, and we have to declare to the people their sins and the way that they need to repent and come back to God. Do we need to tell them that if they will not obey, they will be destroyed? We need to tell them or no? How about if they get upset? How about if they will not like it? How about if we think that they will go to some others and he will accept them with their sin? And then there is a treatment for that. When Apostle Peter faced the crowd and he told them this, he called from the Old Testament, right? Did he spoke against their leaders or no? Not look at myself. You cannot read the word of God in the Bible. Did he spoke against their leaders or no? Did he spoke against their rulers or no? Now see here, if you tell somebody don't drink, he will tell you some other say they are drinking. You have to speak against those leaders. But my question here, if somebody said girlfriend is sin, they said this, they allow other sins. You need to speak against those who allow it. But my question here, did Peter spoke against the rulers of the people or no? Did he spoke or no? Did he spoke or no? Yes, in the Bible, what you see? In the same chapter, Acts chapter 3, verse 15 to verse 17. Now read from verse 14 to verse 17. When he was speaking to the crowd, the leaders were not with him. He said to them, and he denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer to be granted at you. When he telling them that how you handed over Jesus to be crucified, that Pilate had been told you want Jesus or you want Barabbas, this one to be released, they thought they had requested Barabbas to be given to them. And how about Jesus? They said, crucify him. He is the Prince of Life. And he told them, you allow it that he will be crucified. Verse 15, and kill the Prince of Life, whom God has raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. In verse 15, and his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong. He's thinking about the man that he was just healed by the name of Jesus, whom ye see and know. Yeah, the faith which is by him has given on him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. You know, this healing was sounded perfect based on Jesus' name who healed him. In verse 17, and now, brethren, I would that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers. So he includes them with their rulers. He told them, you do it out of ignorance, you allow that Christ will be crucified. And you say your rulers also get involved with it. But you know, Peter was very thoughtful with them. But let me say to you something, his thoughtfulness does not nullify their sin before God. You know, when he said to them, he say, out of your ignorance, as your also leaders. Now, do you think that the leaders of the Jews, they hand him over to be crucified out of ignorance? No. But what do you want to say? If you have done it out of ignorance, okay, you repent now. If you and your leader, sometimes the leaders are the parents, My parents allow it. That's the reason. Sometimes government allow it. Have you get the point? We need to hit them or no? We have to. Because judgment of God will come. And we are accountable. You know, I believe. You see, the Holy Spirit has perfected the message. And now, brethren, I would that though that through ignorance you did it, as did also your rulers. Sin needs to be judged in a proper way. We need to say it. That's all. Maybe you haven't been taught. Out of ignorance, they allow their boyfriends, sex before marriage, all these parties, wasting money to have a man and you are married, to have a woman or you are married, to divorce or remarry. Have you get the point? We need to hate those who allow it. Because we are accountable before God for their souls. And it's not too late. We need to do it. I believe what is going on in the life of the church is worse than the time of Jesus when he came, and there was a very big church, and that's the same now. But the truth is lost. I believe really evangelism should start from inside the body of Christ. I can put list of sins the church is practicing. Well, we cannot go really to the world, and all these sins are adored by famous, well-known, big mega churches. Jeremiah. We need to declare it because God's wrath will come. We will be included if you will not say it properly. Have you get the point? We will be included in God's wrath when we compromise and cut part of the message because we are afraid of certain people that they will be offended. In the book of Lamentations, chapter 2. Lamentation written by Prophet Jeremiah after Jerusalem was destroyed and after they were taken captive. But Jeremiah had done his part. He was keep telling them, stop this idol worship, stop these parties, stop Valentine, stop Christmas, stop halal. Let me get the point here. He stopped his boyfriend, he had all sin he was declaring to them. One of his writings, he scandal leaders about adultery. He wrote it. Such kind of evangelism we need this time. You know what he told them in Lamentations chapter 2 verse 14? He wrote it with tears, but it's meaningful for us today. What do we need to say to the people? About their leaders, about their teachers, about their pastor, about their prophets. Nowadays, everyone I meet, they say, I'm going to church. But they don't know. Lamentations 2:14, thy prophet, he told them, your prophet, have seen vain and foolish things for thee, and they have not discovered thine iniquity, to turn away thy captivity, but have seen for thee false burdens and causes of banishment. He called them, your prophet did not expose your sin, did not teach about these. About children discipline, about the media. Now, it is impossible to say that children should not carry mobile, they will love on you. They should not carry iPhone, they will love on you. They are Christians. Church is allowed. Leaders allowed. They see false visions and false things. They will not keep the sin. And that's what you say here. They have not discovered the iniquity to turn away their captivity. He has told them that you are captive because the vision that they saw when they prayed did not hit the area that you are involved in sin. Matthew chapter 17 and verse 5. In the mountain of the Transfiguration, when Christ went up to the mountain, taking with him Peter and John and his transfigure, and he met Moses and Elijah. The voice of God also came on that meeting. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed him, and behold, a voice out of the cloud, which says, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. He told them, this is not only the prophet, this is my Son. You hear him, you hearken to him. Didn't Stephen told this also to the leaders? That what we spoke about Moses, and what Peter quote, this Stephen quote it again, Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7. And when Stephen was put behind the bar and in front of the Sanhedrin, and he needed to defend himself, they told him, you blaspheme Moses and you blaspheme God. He brought them the scripture that Moses spoke about Christ. And he said, no, you obey it then. Verse 37. Say, this is that Moses which said unto the children of Israel, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren. Like unto me, him shall ye hear. He called the same scripture that Peter quoted him. This is he that was in the church. So Jesus was with you and with our fathers in the church in the wilderness, with the angel which spake to him in the Mount Sinai. You see, the time that you say, I don't want to hear the voice, Jesus also was there. And with our fathers who received the living oracles to give unto us. Verse 39, to whom our fathers would not obey. He told them, the same our father did not obey Jesus. Did not obey, but thrust him from them, and in their hearts, turned back again into Egypt. They want to go back to Egypt because they prefer garlic and onion more than the manna from heaven. And Stephen continued, and very beautiful what Stephen has said here. Saying unto Aaron, make us gods to go before us. He told them, not only this, they said to Aaron, make us gods to go before us, for us, for this Moses, which he brought us out of the land of Egypt, ye would not, what is become of him. When Moses went to get the tablet of the new, of the Old Testament, the tablet of the Ten Commandments, and he was with God, stay there 40 days. The people, they want to have a result. And they made a cult in those days. and offer sacrifices unto the idol, and rejoice in the work of their own hands. Then God turned and gave them up to worship the host of heaven. As it is written in the book of the prophets, O ye house of Israel, have ye offered to me slain deeds, and sacrificed by the space of 40 years in the wilderness? Yea, ye took up the tabernacle of Moloch. Start speaking to them. What our forefathers did in the wilderness, even Jesus was with them, the same what you are doing now, and the same even now at this day. They took the tabernacle of Moloch, and the star of your God returned, figures which ye made to worship them, and I will carry you away beyond Babylon. The prophet told them, instead of the ark of the covenant, you want to replace it with the ark of the tabernacle of Moloch. And Moloch, you know what's Moloch? He's the sun god. The same as we spoke about the story of Christmas, how they make it on December, based on the worship of the sun god, they want to cross bears links with that feast. Have you got the point here? Devil using demons and idols is the same, but he just only changed their name. Do you remember the story that when the Israelites were deceived by the woman of the Moabites, when Balaam was hired and he said to Balak that we will use the woman to entice the Israelites to invite them to our sacrifice so they will come to eat from the sacrifices, and they will be entitled to do immorality. That is in Numbers 25. What did the Lord say to Moses to do to the leaders? Let's go back. Number chapter 25. Book of Numbers chapter 25, verse 4. And the Lord says to unto Moses, take all the heads of the people, those who have done this sin, and they are allowed to bear, and hung them up before the Lord against their son. Because that's the God they worship. That's the tabernacle of Moloch. And that's the Christmas today, and the Halloween, and the Valentine today. That the church is worshiping and keeping. That's true. Scripture. He told them, hung them, in the sight of all the congregation, hung them out before the Lord against the sun, that the fierce anger of the Lord may be turned away from Israel. We need to use the scriptures to deal with sin. I am not sure in detail what is ahead of us, but I am very aware that the battle is fierce now, and will be more furious. We need to be prepared. Going with our feelings and emotions will not work with the devil. We need to be prepared, more filled with the fruit of the Spirit, more alert, more self-control, and more ready with Scripture to let the battle go on. As the apostles, Pastor Peter, we have read Stephen in the walk of the church and in the way that God has led his church. We not only found a crowd of people, but we found leaders, rulers, believers or non-believers they are, whoever they are, we need to be ready to face them, to face them with God's word, and we need to be ready to be persecuted. God is before us, and that's all this thing. God, thank you. Thank you for your work on us. Teach us more of your ways. And guide us with your mercy. Teach us how to do the work of yours. Lead us into more way to evangelize. And how to do the mission work that you call us to do. God, you are sending us scriptures and messages. Lord, we are sure you are preparing us. But the task, truly God, you are not fully aware what is it really. But Lord, I pray that you reveal it to us. You give us more details of how what we receive from you that will be applied. Whether here in this place, other places, whether this time or other time, we trust you. God, take this message and make it reach those who are in need of it. Make it reach on time. Just be an answer to questions. Details to respond to certain situations that they are facing, O God. O God, I pray for help. I pray for people to be saved. I pray for mission fields to be opened. Lead us and guide us to be in the center of your will. We thank you, Lord. We bless you. In Jesus' name. Amen.